This is Adam Marcus on the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Review Podcast. Damn Skippy.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast. Just want to thank all of our fans and listeners. Really appreciate the support. You guys are awesome. Before we get into tonight's film review, just want to give a quick shout out to our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Everything about our podcast is on the website. All of our episodes and interviews, if you want to check those out. We've done some incredible interviews in the past. Go check them out there in a specific tab by themselves so you don't have to scroll through hundreds of episodes on Apple or Spotify, etc. We also have our store if you want to grab a shirt, a mouse pad, a hat, all that good stuff. We'd love to see your pictures, you know, rep your favorite podcast. And Chan's Etsy page is also attached if you want to grab a Tumblr. All of our social media links are on there as well. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Like us, subscribe us, follow us, all that good stuff. And the last thing I want to shout out on our website is our Patreon. We call it Blood Donors. We have the traditional monthly reoccurring kind. If you want to support us, help us pay the bills, as we say. Or if there's a movie you want us to review, that option is available as well. Just check out our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Also, if you haven't noticed, we've recently joined the Believe Network. So there's some ads on our program now. But if you want ad-free content, go check us out on Blood Donors. The ad-free episodes will be available there. We appreciate your support. We hope you enjoy the episode. All right, guys, get into the film review. We're going to be concluding Dustin's horror comedy themed month with Dustin's pick. Dustin, you want to announce it?
Yeah. So this one has been, I've almost picked it multiple months now. Like last month for October, like it kind of fits. It kind of feels like a Halloween movie with some of the themes in it. But I was like, no, let's change it. This is the reason I picked horror comedy months, because I wanted to pick another A24 movie that I wouldn't really have a reason to pick otherwise. I went with Slice from, what year is this, 2018, 17?
18, but, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, 2018's Slice. I watched this one on March the 16th of this year for the first time on my A24 watch through. Knew nothing about it, but I saw Chance the Rapper, Paul Scheer, Chris Parnell, and Hannibal Buress were in it. And I was like, okay, I'm immediately intrigued. I think it's a lot of fun. It's not the best movie I've seen, not even close, but the comedy is great. The cast and score are fantastic. And director Austin Vesely shot it in a way that makes it feel like a music video. And I mean that as a compliment. It's unique. The Great Gatsby is an example of a movie shot like a music video that fucking sucks. This one does not suck, at least to me.
I'll go next. I hadn't heard this movie, obviously. I think this could fall into like kind of that guilty pleasure category as well, kind of like Brian's pick. Like, I think the movie is fun, but I do think the movie is bad at the same time. The cast is awesome. Paul Scheer, I mentioned in my analysis notes, I loved him on that show on VH1, Best Week Ever. He was so damn funny on that. And like Dustin mentioned, the cast is awesome. It's just kind of hard for, I don't know, I don't know how to explain how I feel about it, really, because it's not scary, and it's not trying to be scary, but it's like horror-themed, kind of. You kind of just, I feel like this movie would be awesome, like, off an edible or a cup of mushrooms. But anywho, I'm just going to leave it at that. I think the movie is fun, but it's not good, if that makes sense.
Is Hocus Pocus supposed to be scary?
No, I didn't say it was supposed to be scary. It's a kids horror movie.
But like, yeah, but this is a teen horror movie. Like this.
That's fair. That's fair.
Rated R, but yeah.
It's more for like the kill. Like there are kills on screen, which look pretty good, by the way. The kills look pretty good.
So I compare this movie a lot to Warm Bodies, which I gave a 7, by the way. The lowest of any of us, but not a bad score by any means. But I, for some reason, like this one so much more. Like it's fun as hell. Like it's a quick watch, which I really love. And I love this concept of living with these ghosts, like that they're some minority group, or it's so damn unique. And it's taken seriously just enough to where for some reason I really liked it.
Let's go.
Hell yeah. Brian likes an A24 movie.
Well,
I know that made him sick, but
more and more we're getting into that, aren't we, nowadays? I'm glad you guys are picking non-cum filled fucking A24 movies.
Just wait till next month, baby.
Can't wait to get back to it. All right, well, I'm doing the scene by scene for this bad boy, so here we go. We open up with a voiceover from Sadie telling us we're about to get a story about a ghost, a werewolf, and, quote, to be honest, a pretty shitty pizza place. As we see the, quote, werewolf coming back into town on his moped. We then cut to Perfect Pizza base driver Sean Hammerschmidt making a pizza delivery to Ghost Town, where his throat is slit unexpectedly by an unseen killer. The very pale homeowner opens the door, and we are taken into a very National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation-esque opening credit sequence, and I fucking love it. We are taken into an old 4x3 screen resolution as we realize that we are watching a commercial, as we learn about the town of Kingfisher, USA, home to 40,000 ghosts, mostly victims of the former sanitarium. These ghosts live and work alongside the living, but are relocated by Mayor Tracy to an abandoned neighborhood called Ghost Town. Whilst the mass grave itself was paved over a shopping center that now houses Perfect Pizza Base. We see Kingfisher Chronicle reporter Sadie Sheridan, who we heard at the start of the movie doing a voiceover, attending Mayor Tracy's press conference regarding Sean's murder. We also meet Joe Carey's Steve Harrington from Stranger Things, who is here working with Sadie. His name in this is actually Jackson, but yeah, I'm probably not going to call him that. But the presser is interrupted by Debbie, a member of local activist group Justice 40,000. Their leader, Vera Marcus, holds a protest outside Perfect Pizza, which is built in the mass grave left by the sanatorium, like I said. The group seeks to demolish the Halcyon Square Shopping Center and lay the city's ghosts to rest. But before the protest, we meet Astrid in the diner, who had, we learned through a Polaroid, the nightstand drawer, was a girlfriend of the pizza boy who was murdered. We also meet the detectives investigating the murder, Marsh and Bradley, who discover Sean was running drugs for the dealer Big Cheese. We know that because of the discreet large drawing of cheese that was on the outside of the drugs in his car. We then cut over to Perfect Pizza Place, where we meet its owner, Jack, who insists on keeping the store open despite his staff's reluctance. And we end the set of scenes at the rally I mentioned earlier with Vera screaming, "Justice for the 40,000. And just one more thing before you go, Hannibal Buress's dry delivery talking to the waitress was my first laugh out loud moment of this movie. He always liked you. No, he didn't. He wrote in my yearbook, I never liked you. I don't know why. That fucking just that cracked me up so hard. Go ahead.
Yeah, Hannibal Buress is funny as hell. You know, Brian, I had to rib you right off the rip. Another movie starting off the GOAT studio label, A24. Shout out to Behath. Taking my notes, and I thought again, a pizza sounds fantastic. And I realized, like, taking notes while you're hungry isn't the best idea, but here we are. And oh shit, I thought when the delivery driver has his throat slit randomly and the customer's eyes got big and bug-eyed like we're in a Beetlejuice movie. I love that. Opening credits are fun, and I quite enjoy the score. And this cast is low-key good too. Paul Scheer, Joe Carey, Chance the Rapper, Hannibal Buress, who I immediately think of at the Justin Bieber roast. Y'all go check that out if you haven't seen it. That is so fucking funny. But you got to be in that old school mindset. They're going to say some offensive jokes, so don't wear your tight wad panties if you go watch it. And I quite like this news recap exposition dump as well. The grainy look and the aspect ratio, I thought it was nice and unique. The film does a fine job of the ghost in town's makeup as well. I thought they all looked believable and it wasn't over the top. It kind of does remind you of Warm Bodies, now that I think about it. And we get our first Joe Carey sighting. Shout out Steve from Stranger Things. Kind of debating on changing my DGOT the series pick to the first season of Stranger Things since season 5 is coming out next year. Maybe do that to Dustin's pleasure, it looks like, instead of Dahmer. Hannibal Buress is funny as hell to me with how he talks. I agree with you, Brian, 100%. I wish I got cast in a movie and just got told to be myself. That's all he was. He was just being Hannibal Buress. The two cops I can't take serious from the camera angle they're shot in and their outfits. Fucking trash. The pizza guy's throat slit looked very similar to a coochie. Can't help but wonder if that was intentional. Detectives yelling out about assholes in front of a small child. This is a wild place we're in. Jack's truck is what we call in rural America a pile. Would be fire restored, though. Scooter with some terrible line delivery, but I say this a lot throughout the film. I think it's intentional, the way they deliver their lines. Yeah. Vera gives Miss Carmody vibes or Miss Carmody vibes from The Mist. And Paul Scheer, like I've already mentioned, he's hilarious to me. And I mentioned this earlier too, but I loved him in that VH1 show, Best Week Ever. It was so funny, man. I love that show.
Ghosts, werewolves. I mean, this has all the elements to be a Halloween staple. I love the vividness of the colors in this movie. It's great contrast, and they really pop on screen in nearly every shot. One of the things that I was talking about when I said it feels like a movie, a music video. We waste no time getting our first kill, less than 2 minutes in, and it's a throat slash. Hell yeah. I love the title card and opening credit animations. I thought that was really well done. And I love the campy infomercial for Kingfisher. And I appreciate that it's supposed to be fun, but the wig and fake mustache on the guy was ridiculous. Should have at least taken that a little bit more seriously to me. Mayor Tracy, Chris Parnell, hell yeah. Jerry from Rick and Morty, Cyril from Archer, and countless other notable roles. He's a legend. Love Chris Parnell. I like the premise of the living and dead coexisting. But of course, we had to have the crazy lady shouting at the press conference. Such an underutilized and super rare occurrence in film. Sarcasm. But side note, Vera seems so familiar to me. Does she to y'all? Like, she seems like I've seen her or heard her voice in so many things. But I looked up her IMDb and no, I don't know who the hell she is. But anyway, we get Hannibal Buress here. He's one of my favorite stand-up comedians. His stand-up specials are hilarious. Hell yeah. Side note, how crazy is it that he's basically the one that brought down Bill Cosby? Like, he was basically the one that was a whistleblower to Bill Cosby's whole rape pyramid scheme. And Zazie Beetz is fantastic, too. Very solid casting in this movie. The detectives are morons. I wish this movie didn't lean so far into the dumb characters. Like, it would have been just as funny without some of their dialogue and mannerisms being so over the top and exaggerated. And it could still be campy, just tone it down a notch. And next we see Paul Scherer, who's absolutely hilarious in this movie throughout. And he was incredible as Andre in the classic show, one of my favorite shows, The League. Go watch that if you haven't. It's about a fantasy football league. Incredible stuff.
I love that.
It's a nice touch to me that the crazy lady wasn't alone. Like, so many times in movies we see, it's just like one character who's causing ruckus and has these conspiracy theories, but there's a whole group of these nut jobs. Even better that they end up not being completely wrong. So it's a solid open. I'm in.
We open up with Sadie walking up to Vera to ask her some questions, wondering why she's speaking out of both sides of her mouth, and she's accused of talking mess and told to get. We cut to Astrid pulling up to the pizza place, determined to solve Sean's murder as she asks Jack for her old job back, rejoining her old employees, Scooter, Heather, and Ghost Joe. Scooter could be best described as how my grandfather used to say, if your brains were dynamite, son, you wouldn't have enough to blow your nose. So, there you go. He also reminds me of Adam Devine as well. But we cut to Sadie doing some research, and she quickly deducts via the interwebs that the perfect pizza place was formerly Yummy Yummy Chinese. We then cut to Astrid doing some detective work under the guise of delivering a pizza, causing the pizza to not be delivered, obviously, and Scooter being asked to cover her ass and start making some of her deliveries. He deduces that the last pie gets dropped off close to his, quote, much older girlfriend. He's just like Nico for real. And asked to just wrap it up after delivery because we know that he won't wrap it up during. That's what he said. Back to Astrid, she is at a meetup with the other delivery drivers and confronts the one and only Big Cheese when she's interrupted by the detectives who take and question Cheese themselves. During the interview, they find out about the Yummy Yummy Chinese, but also the fact that their delivery drivers were killed in a string of murders as well. And the prime suspect at the time was fellow driver Dax Lycander, a werewolf who left town. Making that final delivery, Scooter's throat is slit, and Dax is spotted at the scene.
Brian, I'm so happy you did that. Get. But Sadie is funny to me with her accent and her cadence as well. And I had to write it down, Brian, the way Debbie yelled, get, was quirky and it was comical. Astrid doesn't have soft hands, brother. Homegirl is ready to work. She said, open this damn pizza shop. But she did have ulterior motives. Heather with some bad acting and line delivery as well. Yet again, I think it's intentional, but still. Horror trope of let's Google this incident and find everything out starts now with Sadie searching on this pizza crew. That man, Scooter, with the creepiest line delivery I've ever heard in a hot minute. Relax, Liz. It's perfect pizza. Please don't ever say that again, my friend. My man, Jack, in a nightmare scenario as a small business owner. Ashford is gung-ho opening back up, but none of the employees are delivering the food. Yikes. This man, his empire is about to crumble. More incredible line delivery by Scooter. You care if I wrap it up after this because you know I won't wrap it up during? Hell yeah, brother. Real as fuck. Finally get a good look at Zazie Beetz, and I knew she looked familiar. She's the love interest in the original Joker movie. I knew I recognized her ass.
No, and you recognize her from Deadpool 2, don't lie.
Yeah, true. That movie was awesome in IMAX.
Or Atlanta. Great show.
I haven't seen that either. And I recognize... Am I racist for not seeing Atlanta? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask that one guy. Recognize Big Cheese as well from the first Purge movie. Another one of Dustin's picks. I think you picked that one.
Yeah. It's either me or Brian, but yeah, we both like it.
Cheese eating son of a bitch, how you been? I can't lie, I laughed pretty hard at that. Detective Marsh has strangely brought up assholes a bit too much for my liking. The guy's a weirdo. Scooter having a flip phone in 2018, that felt right for his character.
It did.
And Scooter was a weird one, but he didn't deserve to die.
Yeah, I laugh every single time when Debbie says, get, like, that shit's so funny. The scene transitions and cinematography are why I said it feels like it's shot like a music video. And the transition from the camera to the headlight, the camera flash to the headlights, one example. Another are the cuts from one shot to another when the pizza shop is opening up. I really love how this movie is shot. A tuppenny fuck is a new one for me. Never heard that before. I like it. I might add that to the rotation. The phone call from the angry customer is funny. Jack said, man, fuck those customers. Like, the customer ain't always right. That shit was funny. Joe cracks me up too. He talks all dramatically and seriously. Like, I don't know. I like his character's line delivery. Astrid's side quest trying to find answers about what happened with Sean was a good added storyline. And like you said, if Big Cheese looks familiar, he was Dimitri in the first Purge. Hell yeah. I don't give two squirts of piss is a great line in the interrogation. A lot of good comedy in this one. And it's another entertaining set of scenes.
Is it the first Purge or the first Purge?
Not the first Purge movie. The movie called The First Purge.
Gotcha. Got it. Okay. The detectives are informed about Scooter being found, and they leave the Big Cheese interview, giving him no chance of leaving. And we get another voiceover by Sadie while we see a montage of everyone, including the pizza place, being informed of Scooter's murder. We then cut to Mayor Tracy's office, where he's interrupted painting some areolas. And Vera and Debbie are revealed to be conspiring with Tracy, bribing him to blame the murders on the ghosts and rally public support for demolishing Halcyon Square. Back at the pizza place, Sadie visits with her own research into Dax and their Yummy Yummy murders, while we see a meeting with the activist group reveal they're playing even both sides as they blow off a ghost and welcome their latest... Blow off a ghost sounded dirtier than a minute. I did not mean that.
We saw that in the scary movie too.
It was in Ghostbusters 1, wasn't it? Oh, the other way around. The ghost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, welcome their latest inductee, to which is kept a mystery for the time being. Later that evening, Marsh and Bradley are shown tracking down Dax, which results in a car from the 20s and a moped chase at about probably top speeds of about 12 miles per hour. Chased into a junkyard, Dax saves Bradley from being crushed, but is arrested anyway. And back at the station, we learn Dax is 1,000 years old and very bored, but Dax continues to maintain his innocence during the interrogation. Not a lot during this set of scenes, but I will put in my 2 cents and say every time that Detective Marsh said, shut the fuck up, Bradley, had me dying.
I thought it was pretty wild of those detectives to leave that crime scene photo out on the table in front of Big Cheese. Like, damn, y'all ain't gonna put the evidence up? And Mayor Tracy drawing a hell of a painting of some Hooters and doesn't even cover them up when the ladies come in the room. What the hell am I watching in this movie?
He covered her face.
he just left the titties out. Vera, Debbie, and the mayor are scamming and money laundering. I never would have guessed a politician is corrupt. Not all of our people are being murdered just to. I can't lie. I laugh pretty hard at that. Movie trying to build some suspense on who joined the corruption, but we can clearly tell it's Heather. She ain't getting along with that pizza crew. The cop dialogue, it ran a bit long to me, but I'm thankful it did start off a cool chase scene. And we finally get our chance to rapper reveal, and it's fun watching them run through this junkyard. I thought it was pretty cool. How in the hell did Bradley get his leg tangled up in a seatbelt like that? That's embarrassing. Be a man. The interaction between Marsh and Dax is solid. I'm at least invested, and I chuckled at Dax teasing him with his fake werewolf transformation. I thought it was pretty funny. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Jack taking the unfinished gelato punch card instead of Astrid's $6 is funny as fuck to me. He's like, fuck your $6. Give me that. I'll just get some more punches. But not as funny as the mayor painting some large milkers on a lady and then covering it up only for the chest cannons to still be clearly exposed. That was so funny. It's a good development that he's in the pocket of the nut job ladies. I like that. Then we meet the werewolf, Chance the Rapper himself, or Chance the actor, I should say. Plot twist when he helps the cop get out of harm's way. Maybe he's not the villain. I like that. He does have a sense of humor, though. I got a good chuckle out of him acting like he was wolfing out before he left and said it's not a full moon. That shit was funny. This scene is just really mostly highlighted by Paul Scheer's comedy, and I'm still enjoying it thoroughly.
For sure. We open up with Astrid doing her own investigation as to where Dax is as she reunites with Sean's ghost. Astrid is disappointed to learn that he is still a drug addict even in the afterlife and is stabbed from behind, quickly becoming a ghost herself. Dax escapes police custody, finding the evidence box on the Yummy Yummy murders, while Sadie does some research of her own, realizing that Vera and her group are actually a coven of witches responsible for the murders, and their newest inducted member is Heather from the pizza place. The next morning is at the press conference, Tracy publicly does a 180 and declares the murders are not, in fact, the work of ghosts, obviously upsetting the coven's plans. Now, back at the police department, Sadie brings her discovery of the coven to Marsh, but he, of course, blows it off and insists Dax is guilty. She's bagged by an unknown perpetrator on her way out of the station, who we find out later is Dax. We cut to the pizza place as Heather walks in, acting like she just found out about Astrid. While there, though, she uses a terrible excuse to go down into the basement for something yet unknown. Back at the mayor's office, while he is now painting a nude woman with three breastises, a la Total Recall, Vera enters and gives him a case of the old murder himself, and we end this set of scenes on the screaming while the camera pans to the three-nippled goddess on the painting, and the next set of scenes is the ending.
I guess a side effect of dying is being a dick, because Asher is catching strays from Ghost Sean, and Asher just got stabbed in the back. Her line of, that fucking sucks, seeing her dead body. I hate to be that guy, but I thought it was pretty cringy. And there it is, the reveal we saw coming all along. Vera is the killer, or is one of the killers. Dan Bradley just got put on a desk work. Hate to see it. But he did make some good observations, pointing out that the killing isn't like the others. And I think Cat Ladies just caught a stray in this interaction between Sadie and Marsh. Marsh didn't take her seriously one bit. Heather has been a terrible actress throughout, and that continues through this interaction with Jack. I'm just going to keep assuming that she's better based on the show she has found consistent work in, like Yellowstone. I haven't seen that show, but I'm assuming you have to be pretty good to be in it. I don't think Ray Gray as Sadie has been fantastic either, but I think she's quirky, and I think she fits. Tracy, what the hell is going on with this painting? Three pieces of breast meat? What is going on with this? Vera is very creepy on screen in that little interaction at the his desk. The Lord, he does work in mysterious ways. No cap to that. I thought it was a pretty creepy ending to this set of scenes.
Yeah, Astrid's death was hilarious. Like, Sean barely warning her, and then her just popping back up saying, that fucking sucks. That's funny stuff. It's also hilarious when Bradley knocked the coffee out of Marsh's hand and yelled like that only to sheepishly give him his coffee without even being asked. He, like, makes this bold gesture and it's like, okay, here you go. Here's your coffee. Marsh's talk with Sadie was funny, too. I realize most of my notes on this are just like Scary Movie, just when pointing out what I thought was funny, but that's because it's good comedy. Like, it works for me. I laughed again when Sadie steals Dax's thunder and finishes a sentence like that. That was funny. He's like, ah, I'm going to break some news to you, and she already knows. That was funny. Vera coming into Mayor Tracy's office and clearly being some sort of evil is a nice twist to set us up nicely for the finale.
All right, and we are already at the finale, and I cannot reiterate enough how a fast, quick watch this is. So give it a shot. Sadie returns to Perfect Pizza, where she, Jack, and Joe discover the ghost of the sanatorium janitor Carl in the basement, who reveals the building was built on a portal to hell, which the coven plans to use to enslave an army of ghosts. Killed by Vera, last set of scenes, Tracy holds a press conference, but Vera reveals that he has become a ghost, and the coven reveal themselves as witches to the public. The town's frustrated ghosts turn to terrorizing the living, while a montage of a vengeful Astrid kills most of the coven, picking them off one by one. Dax is unwilling to help Astrid stop Vera, despite her trying to convince him to help via the upcoming full moon. but of course later changes his mind. The witches prepare to access the portal to hell, and Debbie enters Perfect Pizza only to find Jack waiting. He blows up the restaurant, believing this will stop the coven, but the explosion opens the portal instead. With Sadie watching helplessly, Astrid attacks the witches but is overpowered, and Dax intervenes in werewolf form. Marsh shoots Vera, D-E-A-D, dead, while Bradley arrests Heather and the portal closes. Sadie is promoted to television news anchor, while Jack, now a ghost, reopens a new pizza restaurant with Dax and fellow ghosts Scooter, Joe, Carl, and Astrid. And that is the end. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought Astrid, her ghost look, I thought it was great as she prepares to go hunting. Ghost Joe, I don't know if I missed this, but he finally chimes in about the evil of the pizza place location. Did I miss this? What took you so long, Joe? Damn. My guy Jack is all about making a buck, and I respect it. Shout out to him. He's going to charge to even take him downstairs. Good night. Never would have guessed a dead janitor will be the gatekeeper to hell. All right. Montage recap of the history of what's going on is fine, and I thought it was necessary, honestly. Chance the Rapper, the most unbelievable, frightened reaction I've ever seen. I got to admit, I legit hope the director and writers told them to act like this for the film, and I'm going to just assume they did. Another Steve from Stranger Things sighting. I wonder why he took this role. And I'm not hating on the movie, but I'm just curious. Maybe it just as a change up from Stranger Things, do something different creatively. Because, I mean, Stranger Things was hot and heavy. I don't know. More bad dialogue from Detective Bradley as Vera prays to Satan and a funky score starts up. I just wrote down, like, this is a unique movie I'm watching. I don't mean I hate it, but it's unique. Paul Scheer is funny as hell in his line delivery. But I don't think blowing up his establishment was necessary, to be honest. The portal to hell looked awesome once the building exploded, but he just made it easy for the witches to access hell. The green hue of the film as Dax and Vera fight, I thought was very nice, and I liked it a lot. Detective Marsh shows up just in time to ice her ass, pat, pat, right to the forehead. You go, Sadie. You get that promotion. You deserve it, girl. Godspeed, you Chinese food werewolf. All right. I'm not giving that one a pass. I thought that was a terrible fucking line. Love the ad for Jack's Perfect Pizza. Paul Scheer continues to crack me up. I definitely didn't burn my last place down for tax write-off purposes. Love that. Sorry, Dustin, at the end, I swear, God, what a terrible movie, but man, it was fun.
That's fair. Saying that Santa fucks you is a weird statement. Like, Santa is usually a kid's parents. Is he trying to tell us that his parents fucked him? That was crazy to me. Carl realizing that he's a ghost is funny, and it's a good revelation that the place is built on a gateway to hell. Makes sense why Vera wants the place so badly. Shit really hits the fan when Vera tells the public Tracy is a ghost. Not really a fan of the green visual effects when her and her other cat lady summon the ghost, but I can forgive it. It's fine. I didn't expect Jack to torch the place, especially with him inside. That's crazy. Caught me off guard. The action really picks up here with Astra trying to fight the witches and then Chance the Werewolf showing up. His look wasn't the best, though, nor were the effects of him changing back to normal. I really wish they had more of a budget for those things specifically. Also, Vera getting killed the way she did, that was pretty anticlimactic to me. All right, Dax didn't even need to exist, which is a bummer. This whole movie's been building towards a showdown with a werewolf and a witch, so you think that he's going to be the one that takes her out, but he barely did anything. Jack's Perfect Pizza commercial is such a fun way to end. You're right, Nico. That shit was so funny. He's like, I definitely didn't burn it down for tax purposes. And all the pop-up text on the screen during the commercial. Funny shit. Fun way to end it.
God, and they were so off at the end saying the line. Like, they were all three. They said it at different times. It was terrible.
Oh, Lord.
Talking about in the commercial?
Yeah, at the very end when they're giving the jingle.
I think that's supposed to be bad.
That was intentional.
No, it was funny. I'm just saying, yeah. It was like they were so off.
It's so funny because Chance was a much better actor throughout the rest of the movie than he was in that commercial. It's like,
yeah.
It's like in the movie, the rest of the movie, he's just being himself. But that one, it's like when a regular person tries to act how bad they are. Like, I love how exaggerated it was.
Okay, you guys, there's nothing on the Book of Faces. Do you have anything, Nico?
I got nothing on the gram. I think this is a sleeper.
I think it is. I think you're right.
I got one on the old X, formerly known as Twitter. We got two. One is from Mookie, who said, underrated movie that's just fun. Highly enjoy this one. That's awesome that you've seen it, buddy. Like, I thought that I was the only person that had seen this movie, and I just happened to do it because I was watching all the A24 movies. And then Andrew Ferguson said, this one made me laugh. if Dustin has a time machine to go see a movie that was released in 3018, how come he didn't warn y'all that the selection committee was going to job the Knowles last year? And I was like so confused, but then I realized it's because the post says that he chose 3018's Slice. So,
oh shit, I butchered that, didn't I?
Oh, that's funny.
Hey man, what's I can't remember who it said it in Next Friday, but players fuck up. I think it was Day Day, wasn't it? Day Day. Players fuck up.
It was Day Day. Hey, player, your shirt's on backwards.
Y'all got any fun facts?
Okay, I got a couple. The area code for Perfect Pizza is 312, placing the location of Ghost Town as downtown Chicago, which makes total sense because that's where Chance the Rapper, he's from there, and so is Hannibal Buress, so that makes sense. The script started as a pilot for a TV series, which explains why there are so many times when it cuts to black, which is where the commercials would have been inserted, why there are narration segments that seem like the end of episodes, and why there are so many characters and storylines. It seems like the only thing that was changed from the original TV version is the inclusion of a lot of strong language, including many usages of the word fuck. So I didn't know that at the time. And in hindsight, it makes it much more understandable, and it makes it so much more forgivable. Like because one of the issues I had with the first time I watched this, man, there's so many moving parts. I've complained about that in other movies. There's a lot of storylines in this one, but it all ties together nicely. Anyway, and then the last one I've got is that Paul Scheer, the great Paul Scheer, was in Year One, super underrated movie. Love that movie, with Oliver Platt, who was Jimmy King in the smash hit Ready to Rumble with David Arquette. One of my favorite movies.
You never cease to amaze me with those, Dustin. I'm going to hit you with the old razzle-dazzle and do one day. Let's jump to our favorite kill, least favorite kill in the rating. Dustin, you want to kick us off? This has been a short episode. Good night.
Yeah, it has. Nice. 30 minutes. Wow. Favorite kill for me was Astrid. The kill itself and then her reaction after the fact were hilarious to me. Least favorite kill was Vera because, like I said, it was anticlimactic. If you're going to build a showdown between a witch and a werewolf this much, make it mean something. And then my final thoughts in the rating. Jamie Rigetti from IndieWire said that it's a funny and campy homage to 80s horror, mashing together Michael Jackson's Thriller with Stranger Things and Riverdale, often with satisfying results. I completely agree. Like, that's how I feel about this movie. Okay. The ghosts are a great allegory for gentrification. It's creative. It's original. I do question some decisions like wardrobe, hairstyles, vehicles, and the usage of flip phones. Like, this movie doesn't know what year it wants to take place in, but it's fun. I don't think it's the best movie. It's not quote-unquote cinema, but it's good enough to get a 6.5 out of me.
All right, I'll go next. My favorite kill, I'm going to go with Scooter. I thought the throat slit looked really good, and I really enjoyed the customer's Tim Burton bug-eyed effect right after it. Least favorite kill, I'm going to have to disagree. I'm going to go with Astrid just because she just got stabbed in the back, and I hated her. Damn, that sucks, or whatever her line was. I just thought the line was cringy. Huh. I thought the movie was fun, but I didn't think it was very good. I think it is worth a watch, you know, during Halloween season, spooky season. You should have put it on the list, Dustin, whenever we made our choices. Definitely like just a fun little hour and 20-minute time burner. But I gave it a 5.25.
Holy shit.
I'll go
holy
next.
Holy shit.
Read Mike's. Brian's got the highest score on an A24 movie. This is breaking news.
Unbelievable.
Da-da-da.
All right. Mike said the budget was $1.1 million, and as for the gross, he couldn't find a definitive number. He doesn't have a least favorite or favorite kill, but he said, quote, I think Slice was fun as hell. Chance the Rapper needs to be in more horror films. Not sure how many movies we've done that start out with the Pizza Boy kills, but it felt original. Kingfisher is a cool neighborhood name as well. Thought it was a creative spin to have basically half the town be dead people slash ghosts. Not sure that had been done before either. Some creative kills and moments that had me laughing my ass off. The portal idea reminded me of a little too much of Halloween Town, though. Building a pizza place on top of a sanatorium is a wild idea. Not a bad gig for the dead people, though. Free fucking pizza.
Hell yeah.
The plot with the witches gets a little convoluted, but I enjoyed it overall. He gave it a 7.
Wow. I actually picked one of the throat slices from The Witches. I thought this had a lot of very well-done throat slices in this movie, and I actually did not pick a least favorite kill. Quickly, I appraised this runtime and the quick watch, but I did think that it was a bit of a rushed ending. So I don't know how you can have both, but there you go. Again, I liked this. I compared it to Warm Bodies. I like it better. And since I did the comparison, I kind of painted myself in a corner because I gave it a 7. I said I like it better, so I gave this one a 7.25. Had no idea that I was going to be the highest rated on the show.
Hell yeah, we love to see that, brother. Composite score for us now sets at a 6.5. IMDb has it at a 4.5. Rotten Tomatoes 52%. Letterboxd 2.2. They don't know ball. They just don't know ball.
But Thanksgiving was a 6.5. Okay.
Yeah, right. Come on.
They don't know good pizza either. Good night. Any final thoughts for your shout out are blood donors? And Brian, you can announce your theme and pick for next week. Let's shout out our blood donors. Legendary blood donor, Dana Tucker. Dana, we really appreciate you. You helped us. You've helped support us a lot. It means a lot to us. Final girl donor, Christina Tower, will be releasing Happy Dead Day very soon. And Jenny Conway, we'll be doing her review next week as well. Camper Level Reoccurring, Nina, the Horror Movie Crew podcast. Alex Seligson, Steve Schmidt, Michelle Mirza, and Chris Manley. Camp Counselor Reoccurring, Edwin Hernandez Gunn, Joe Swinford, Adrian Aiello, Brian Samick, Andrew Ferguson, Brooke Maley, Heather Superdoc, Jennifer Davis from the Too Close to Home podcast, Dana Tucker again, Cole McAlexander, and Max K. We appreciate y'all. It does, I can't stress it enough, takes a big burden off of us. And like I mentioned in our other show, which one we just did, Thanksgiving, blood donors, I'm going to be giving away a lot of duplicate Blu-rays that I have just from buying, you know, steel books and stuff over time. So I'll give y'all early access for a giveaway on socials. Brian, announce your theme and your pick for next week. I think you're going to make Matt Sears happy.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. I'm probably going to make a lot of people happy because, you know, we've done a few polls except for Dustin. But we've done a lot of polls online, and this has always come in second in almost everything that we've done. Peek behind the curtain, I wanted to pick Alien Romulus because I'd just seen it. It's fresh in my mind. I loved the movie. So I went with Sci-Fi Month, and then I got to thinking, like, listen, we've done Aliens. I can't justify doing the third one without finally going back and doing the original 1979 Alien that started it all. No matter your feelings about it, it's overdue as shit. Like, it's overdue. Like, we've got to do this movie. I'm glad we're finally getting it done.
It is
overdue. Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah.
It is overdue. I love it. Brian said that it's the Alien Romulus is the third one.
Well,
what do you mean by that?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the second one because it slots in between 1 and 2. So my bad.
Chronologically, yeah.
Chronologically, it is the second one.
That's what I mean. I thought you were going with the rest of them don't exist vibe.
I mean, there are a lot of that franchises does not exist to me. So you're correct. Yes.
And before I get any hate, you know, the reason that I'm not all jazzed up to do this is because when Romulus came out, I rewatched the entire franchise beforehand just so it'd be fresh in my mind and I wouldn't have to be like, oh, what was that again? What's going on? I don't care for the franchise. I understand and respect the impact and how good the movies are.
And I think you had just previously tried to start a watch through of all of your movies and you just watched it.
Further peek behind the curtain. Earlier this year, I decided I was going to watch every DVD and Blu-ray that I own, which is well over 1,000. And I was going to do that so that I could log them on Letterboxd and I could just like, I could say that, okay, I've seen all these movies recently. Right. They're fresh in my mind. So I started in A's. I watched the entire Alien franchise earlier this year. And I was like, God, I never want to do that again. But I watched so many movies this year that when Romulus came out, I was like, okay, let's do it again. Just so it's fresh on my mind. Never in 1,000 fucking years did I think that I was going to have to watch this movie 3 times in 1 fucking year.
3 times in like 5 months.
God. And like I said, I'll say this again on the episode, but I just don't want to catch any hate for this before then. I understand that's a very well-made movie. It's just boring as shit to me. Go ahead.
Hey, fair enough. We'll be back next week to review, an overdue movie, Alien. We appreciate y'all listening, and y'all have a good one. Get a slice of pizza. Have a good one.
Free fucking pizza.
Yeah. Just want to remind everybody.